I want to say just a bit about Jonah. That text, among other parts of it, you know, other goals of the text, is a commentary on how the post-exilic Jews had closed their minds to the people up north who had conquered them, and you know, but God hadn't closed his. And so this is a story about calling this fellow to go north and preach, and he goes west. So you know, he's got thrown overboard, the fish swallows him, and now you're supposed to know that this is some sort of satirical development, perhaps, of the story of a real prophet. And the point is, the narrow-mindedness and the jealousy of the Jews. Jonah doesn't want to go up there. I don't want him to repent. I want the place to be destroyed. And that's to every one of us looking to our heart. Wouldn't it be great if all the Muslims were converted tomorrow? They all loved Jesus, and the next pope was the next Muslim, and wouldn't that be great? Well, I don't know. Don't we? You see, we don't have this sort of broad-mindedness and zeal that the Father has. So you heard the story. It's just so beautifully artistic. So he's out there sitting under this gourd plant, and then the worm eats it. Well, now he's so mad he wants to die. Well, that's pretty mad. I mean, I've had it. Forget it. I want to die. And then the Lord confronts him. You are concerned over the plant, which cost you no labor, and which you did not raise. It came up in one night, and in one night it perished. Should I not be concerned over Nineveh, the city of your enemies, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot distinguish their right hand from their left, not to mention the many cattle? In other words, contrasting God's concern for everybody with our narrow-mindedness. You see, I wouldn't preach to them. They might get converted. I mean, I don't think we'd go that far. But it's a beautiful story. And that's why it is, to this day, considered the text that speaks of repentance more than any other. And it's read at Yom Kippur. Another interesting thing, in our very technological mind, we have two versions of the Our Father. Now, why can't they get it straight? Which one is it? You see? Different mind, you don't get it. You know? The Lord was teaching them to pray, he's teaching us to pray. This one in Luke may be the more original, because there are liturgical, Jewish liturgical developments in the Our Father that we have in Matthew. And this one can retranslate back into a beautiful little Aramaic poem. Abba. When you pray, say Abba. First word. Avinu shebashamayim in the other one, which is beautiful and true. But here, when you pray, say Abba. What kind of a liberation? Almighty God, the creator of the world, the judge of the universe, when you pray, say Abba. Well, what does Abba mean? The only way to find out is to ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can give you all the etymology of it. It comes from Av, which is a common Semitic word for father. It's the strengthened form, Abba, you know. But you've got to go to Jesus and say, Lord, when you say Abba, and he says it all through the gospel, he speaks about, and that's what shocked, among the other things, you know, as for the time and the hour when the world is going to end, nobody knows. Not even the Son, only Abba. Now we translate that all the time, the Father or Father. And, well, that's good. But we miss that this is a special word. I've told you about that time I was in the grocery store, right? And that little boy, it was over in Israel. And there's a little boy in the aisle with me in the grocery store, tiny little thing. I don't know, 3, 4, whatever. And all of a sudden he looked around, and his dad wasn't there. So he called out, Abba, Abba. And the guy leans over the next guy. He says, Ani po, en baya. I'm right here. There's no problem. But as I watched that child, I said, now when you pray, say, Abba, Abba. Only the Holy Spirit can show us that. It's the gift of a divine affection for God the Father. Well, how do we get it? Well, of course, we ask for it. And then when he starts to show us, we don't get like Jonah and all upset about the gourd, you know. As he tells us, drop that sin, stop sinning like that, you know, and you'll grow. But you see, another way is to learn from Mary. You see, Mary's role in our life, to be simplified about it, is to keep us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Obeying the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, repenting in the power of the Spirit, is to keep us docile to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then can form our heart to be like the heart of Jesus. If our heart is like the heart of Jesus, we say Abba. We understand this exchange of divine affection, and we're in on it. This is what the Word, the eternal, divine, omnipotent Word, says in his human nature to God the Father. Abba. Yitkadesh Shemach. Let your name be held holy. Do something, Lord. You know, we're just all going down the tubes. This is chaos. Incredible. Stop it. Let people see who you are. They'll change. That's the point, right? They'll change. And then the other stuff we need. Huh? First, your kingdom come. That means, this is a lot of etymology for one morning, but see, the word here would be Tete Malchuta, Malkut. Malkut means reign. It's not just kingdom like the kingdom of Monaco, you know. It means your rule over all of us. See, Tete Malchuta. Let your Malkut come, your problem with our word is it means like the kingdom of Monaco or the kingdom of Jordan or the kingdom of... No, it means your reign over all the world. Come with that, Lord. If you came and started judging between us, everybody would obey you. You're God. Why can't you come and do something? Well, not yet till you end the world, but at least give us what we need to let people know who you are. You see? And then, you see, we're too spiritual. We're not, but you know what I mean? The Son of God says, ask for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to eat or we'll die. So God, please give us our bread. Do you see how, what's the right word? You know, you need bread? Ask God. You see, ask Abba. And then we need two more things, forgiveness and protection. Forgive us our sins. And that would be chov. Huh? I think I've said that. Chov in Aramaic means debt. But it's the word for debt and sin. Why? Because every time we sin, we're in debt to God, man. We owe him. Remember, look at that parable where the guy owes the national debt, right? Debt. As we forgive everybody in debt to us. Anybody, you know, that's in debt to me because they've offended me, I write it off. Boy, I forget it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to pray for them. And that's just good business. Because that's what the Lord will do with us. He's telling us this. And then, to not subject, this translation, which is good, subject us to the final test. Don't let us get caught in that, oof, well, I don't know if I'd make it. And if I have to go through, if this is the end of the world, the end of our world, and the whole thing's going up in smoke, and at least be with me. And there we can have, you know, confidence. The first pope stood right there in the courtyard of the high priest and said about Jesus, Jesus, I never heard of him. Because he was scared. But then, when the crunch came, he wasn't scared. He got crucified. Who helped him? The Father. We don't have to be afraid. Oh my God, if they put me in jail and start torturing me, I'll quit. Oh yeah, I'll be a Buddhist. Okay, you know. No, you won't. The Father will be there, strengthening you, helping you, giving you courage. Amen.